Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am going to cover in this audio Psalms chapter 134, the 134th Psalm, which I will entitle Come Bless the Lord. The heading of the Psalm says simply this, a song of ascents. That's A-S-C-E-N-T-S, ascents going up. There are four possible options as to what ascents might mean, according to the NIV Study Bible. Option number one, ascents is the music that was played with the psalm, the music going up in pitch, ascending in pitch. Therefore, the song is called a song of ascent. I don't think that's too likely, in my humble opinion. So let's look at option number two from the NIV Study Bible. Ascents, according to this option, refers to the steps of the Jews ascending as they returned from Babylonian captivity, going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's up on a mountain. I think that's reasonable. Here's another reasonable option. Option number three, ascents would refer to the song sung by the Levitical priest as they walked up the steps of the temple during their Levitical worship, the service that they were required to do by law, and they would sing these psalms as they walked up the steps. Option number four, ascents would be the steps of a pilgrim walking up to Jerusalem, ascending to Jerusalem, singing this psalm. Why would a pilgrim be going up to Jerusalem? He had to do that every year according to the law. In the spring, he would go up to the Feast of Passover. In the summer, he would go up to the Feast of Weeks. And in the fall, he would go up to the Feast of Tabernacles, singing these psalms. And thus, this psalm and the other songs of ascent were called songs of ascent or psalms of ascent. This is the 15th of the 15 psalms that have that phrase, song of ascents, in the heading. Psalms 120 through 134 are the psalms of ascent. David was the author of four of them. Solomon was the author of one of them. 10 of them are anonymous, and this particular one, Psalms 134, is anonymous. The psalm is only three verses long. I will read it to you now. The psalmist begins, "Now praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. Lift up your hands in the holy place and praise the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." Now let's look at some translation variations here. Verse 1, "Now praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord," that would be the Levites, "who stand in the Lord's house." The Holman Christian Study Bible has it. The King James has it the same way. Stand. These servants are standing in the Lord's house at night as they do their worship service, or as they do their service, not necessarily just worship service. The NASB has the servants of the Lord who serve in the Lord's house at night. The NIV translation has the servants of the Lord who minister in the Lord's house at night. Well, most service is done by standing, so this is a minor point. John Gill says that none might sit in the temple but a king of the house of David. Only the kings might sit in the temple. That must be Jewish additions to the scripture, because John Gill is a rabbinic expert. But at any rate, we have these servants, the Levites, serving God in God's temple. The Lord's house is God's temple, and they're doing it at night. So what might Levites do at night to serve the Lord's house? Number one, the NIV Study Bible says this, they keep the fire burning continually on the altar. We read in Leviticus 6:13, fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. So if it's not going out, that means at night somebody would have to keep it going if it was about to go out. So they would keep fire burning continually on the altar at night is the first thing they did. The second thing they did was they kept the golden lampstands burning at night. Again, this is the NIV Study Bible points this out. Leviticus 24 verses 2 through 4 says this, "Command the sons of Israel that they bring to you clear oil from beaten olives for the light to make a lamp burn continually outside the veil of testimony in the tent of meeting. Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning." From evening to morning, that's all night long. Verse 4 of Leviticus 24, "He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually." That means night and day. Now, this says Aaron will do this. I'm assuming that's because Aaron was in charge of the Levites. The Levites were the ones who normally did this kind of work. Now, here is a third type of temple service that the Levites could carry out at night. They served as guards of the temple, as John Gill points out. They kept the temple from being profaned or plundered. Here's a fourth service that the Levites performed for the temple. They praised God. They were in charge of the music. As Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say, they praised God at the evening service. So this would be the fourth example of nighttime service for the Levites. Number one, keeping the fire burning on the bronze altar. Number two, keeping the golden lampstands in the holy place burning at night. And number three, keeping the temple from being profaned or plundered at night. And number four, singing at night. Well, there's a problem with the Levites singing at night. It's because they normally, you would think, would sing in the daytime. However, we read in 1 Chronicles 23:30, this, they, the Levites, are also to stand every morning to give thanks and praise to the Lord, and likewise in the evening. In the evening. Now, I have a little bit of problem with that because the evening sacrifice was in the late afternoon. It was not really at night. And if the evening sacrifice is when the Levites sang, it wouldn't be at night. However, you could imagine Levites singing past the evening sacrifice on to the evening. So we'll give that one to Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown and say, okay, the Levites did that at night. So going back to verse 1, now praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. They had a lot of stuff to do at night. I used to wonder when I would hear that psalm sung. We had a little chorus we used to sing years ago when I was in college, and I would think, well, why are they serving at night? Why don't they go home and eat at night? Well, there was work to do at night. Now, in verse 2, the psalmist says, lift up your hands in the holy place. The holy place, of course, is the temple or the tabernacle. Lift up your hands in the tabernacle and praise the Lord. Now, why would the priest be lifting up their hands in the tabernacle? Option number one, they're blessing the people. Now notice that the blessing of the people is not necessarily done at night. Let me read this again. Lift up your hands in the holy place. It does not say at night. Verse one, they stand in the Lord's house at night doing their service. But verse number two says they lift up their hands in the holy place. No mention of night. So they could be blessing the people during sometime during the day, a meeting during the day when the people gathered in the courtyard. That's the first thing they could be doing, by lifting up their hands. John Gill mentions that. John Gill also mentions that the priest could simply be praying. Again, not necessarily at night. We read David in Psalms 141:2 saying this, may my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. So David is praying as he lifts up his hands. 1 Timothy 2:8. Paul tells Timothy, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So praying, and this would be amongst Gentile Christians as well as Jews, because Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was ministering in Ephesus. Ephesus had a lot of Gentiles. Lifting up holy hands is what the men in every place did as Paul exhorted them to pray. In Psalms 28:2, David says this, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. So lifting up hands was a common way to pray, a common posture used when praying. Now, I'm assuming here that the priests are doing this, lifting up their hands either to bless the people or either to pray to God. But there's a third possibility. We could read this verse. This way, the psalmist is exhorting ordinary people in the temple courtyard, you lift up your hands to pray, not just the priest, but you guys. You ordinary people, lift up your hands in the holy place not being the actual temple, but the courtyard of the temple, and praise the Lord. I don't think it really matters. The point is we need to lift up our hands and pray as we apply this to the New Testament, even as Paul told Timothy to let the men pray. Now, I ask you, how often do you see in many churches? I know a lot of charismatic churches do this, lift up their hands to pray, but you don't see it. At least I haven't seen it too much. I think it's become a little bit more popular through the influence of the charismatic movement, but a lot of times you don't see people lifting up their hands to pray. Not that it's necessary, but it's a nice gesture for prayer. The NIV Study Bible says this, quote, from ancient times, upraised hands have revealed both praise and petition. The Hebrews used their hands to express both their dependence on God and their respect for Him. Lifting their hands symbolized an expectant attitude and trust in God that He would fill their empty hands with His blessings. One of the Hebrew words for praise, derived from the word for hand, could mean holding out hands in worship. So we lift our hands, expecting God to fill our hands, or we lift our hands to praise God. That's a good thing. Verse 3. The psalmist says, may the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Well, if God can make heaven and earth, and heaven and earth is the typical Jewish way of saying the whole universe, if God can make the whole universe, He can certainly bless His people from Zion. Now, this blessing that's mentioned could be the priest blessing the people, as Adam Clark says, and I think that makes sense to me. It could be, though, that the psalmist is asking that the Levites be blessed. He could be saying in verse 2, Levites, you lift up your hands in the holy place, in the tabernacle, and then may the Lord, in verse 3, bless you, Levites. Could be. But I think Adam Clark is probably right here. It's the priest blessing the people. That's what the psalmist is saying. May the priest bless the people. Where? From Zion. Why from Zion? Well, I think it's because the temple was located in Zion on the city of David, which is Mount Zion proper. And so then the priest would be blessing from that spot. The priest would be blessing the people from Mount Zion. Now, in the Old Testament, Zion is a term that has both literal and figurative uses. Zion can refer physically to the city of David, which is that strip of land running from north to south, dividing two valleys, the Tarpeian Valley on the west and the Kidron Valley on the east, and that strip of land reaches to the south and drops down into the Hinnom Valley on the south. That was the city of David. You add Mount Moriah, which is a little bit north and a little bit northwest to the city of David, and you've got the city of David plus Mount Moriah, which sometimes the term Zion refers to. Sometimes the term refers to the whole city of Jerusalem, including the parts beyond the Tarpeian Valley. And sometimes Zion refers to the whole land of Israel. Now, the term Zion can also figuratively refer to those who believe in God, both Old Testament and New Testament. In the New Testament, Zion refers to the church. Hebrews 12:22, the author of Hebrews writes to the Hebrew Christians, instead you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, we know the heavenly Jerusalem, of course, is the church. Well, of all those possible meanings of Zion here, I think in verse 3, it's talking about the city of David, Zion proper. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Why from Zion? Because that's where the tabernacle was. That's where the priests were. All the priests are standing in the Lord's house at night and who were told, probably it's the priests, are told to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. These priests will then bless you, the people from Zion, because they are in the tabernacle, which is on Mount Zion. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now finished Psalms 134. We have also finished all of the Psalms of Ascent, all 15 of them. And so in our next audio, we will move to different Psalms, starting in Psalms 135, which I will entitle, Your Name, O Lord, Endures Forever. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.